First Peter and the 4th chapter and with the 12th verse. Beloved, do not be surprised as a fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. Good evening, my dear friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moen. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. I've been sharing Christ ever since. Oh, friends, I got an opportunity to go to a big church down here on Santa Fe and share my testimony and show my movie. They're working with alcoholics. Boy, what an opportunity God's given me. I just love it when God opens doors for us. Now, I'm not smart enough to open a door. God has to open them. Well, listen, hey, the weather's beautiful outside. The robins are picking up worms for their babies, and we're going to have a good day. So kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Colossians, the third chapter. Let's begin reading with the 12th verse. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, greatness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave us, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with thanksgivingness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Then we turn over here to Philippians 4 and 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, is good, of a good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Well, friends, listen, tonight we have labeled this How to Thrive, Not Just Survive. Well, let me ask you, was last year poor, or at the best mediocre? Did you have dreams that were dashed? Are you having trouble expecting a great year? Well, let me tell you what we need to do. We need to thrive, not just survive. Jesus came to give us an abundant life. And it tells us, yes, that we need to, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Well, he gives abundant forgiveness for our sins and our failures. Oh, friends, that word abundant is a pretty big word. He gives abundant power for a great future. Now, here are five daily disciplines to make this your greatest year. Please write them down. And let's start with Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Have you done that yet today? Have you told him what you wanted or what you needed and discussed it with him? You know, the problem, the reason God seems so far away from a lot of Christians is because you don't talk to him. You don't get up in the morning and tell him you love him and you thank him for your salvation. Friends, God loves to hear from his children. God wanted a family. That's why he created heaven and earth. Yes, sir. And he gave them Adam and Eve, and they messed up. They sure enough did. Start each day giving thanks. And I read in Psalms 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the name of the Most High. Friends, I learned this from an old Christian. I was a baby Christian. He said, when things are going bad, start praising the Lord. Start going over the things that he's done for you. First of all, when he saved us, that's enough. But more than that, he gives us things in life that we, for instance, the food we eat, for the home, for the roof over your head, for the car you have to get back and forth to go to work so you can make a living. God gives you that. Give thanks for everything and take for granted. You are alive. You have food to eat and clothes to wear. 1 Timothy 6 and the 6th verse. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into this world, so we can take anything out either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. You know, isn't that the truth? Sometimes we take everything for granted. You know, right now, so you have a problem. So your dreams have been dashed. So things are not looking good. Sit down. Write down the things that God has done for you since you were saved. And friends, you know what'll really charge your battery? Go out today and witness to some lost sinner. Or share your testimony. Or try to introduce a soul to Christ. You know, the one thing I want you to know, and please believe me, this is a fact. Do not argue with people. Now, that's supposing that you're dealing with a man and a woman who belong to the cults, of some cult. Don't argue with them. Listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. If God's Holy Spirit cannot convict them that they're wrong, I will assure you Cecil Moe, Jim Jones, or nobody else is going to do that. That's his job. And God will do his job if we will do his job. Give thanks for your salvation, boy. Psalms 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Always give thanks for your salvation and testify every opportunity you get. I told you this story many times, and I like to tell it. Years and years and years ago, when I was a director of the rescue mission up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, there was a pastor and a choir, youth choir, came up and stopped in our town, and I asked them to come to the mission and sing to our men and women. Oh, my, it spoke to those kids, boy. They saw what suffering was all about. Well, anyway, they asked the pastor if I could come down to their church and preach a youth revival. Well, he said, okay, you can come down, but I don't think he really was anxious for me to come down. But anyway, I went. My wife and I went down there. Big, huge church, and they had a wonderful choir, and those kids were serving the Lord. Well, anyway, So one thing led to another. And after I left there, I got another call. The kids had been revived. Let me tell you what I did one Sunday morning. It was a very hot day in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And the pastor asked me if I'd like to go and preach in prison. I said, oh, yes, I'd love to go to prison. So I went over there, and the white boys were on the main floor, and they had air conditioning. This is true. The second floor was for the blacks. They had no air conditioning. That's a true story. And so I witnessed today, there's about 25 or 30 young people. And they were young. I mean less than probably 25. And after I got done testifying, I asked them if they'd like to put their trust in Jesus. And nobody held up their hand. Finally, one little kid about 18 years old come up and he said, I want to trust the Lord. So I took him by the hand through the bars and led him in a sinner's prayer. And when I opened my eyes, every one of those black young men had prayed to receive Christ. How many men are, I don't know, and you know I don't know. But that pastor told me one day, he said, Cecil, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go to every church in America and tell them how you met Jesus. Now, that don't mean that he thought I was a special person. But I do have a testimony that tells the truth, how God reached down in a gutter, literally reached down the gutter and snatched me out of there and saved my soul. So I always want to give thanks for the salvation that he's given me. And it says, give thanks for the privilege of prayer. And I read in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. Well, let me see. What do you need tonight? Have you discussed it with the Lord? Have you asked him? You know, he said, talk to me. Talk to me. I'll talk to you. Well, prayer overcomes anger and enables us to forgive. Now, verse 6, it tells us. Let me see where we're at. Here's verse 6. Colossians 3. For it is an account of these things that the wrath of God will come. Now listen to me. Prayer will overcome anger, and you got to forgive. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything, expecting answers. We can pray and believe and receive. Yes, we can. Jeremiah 33. Call to me, and I'll answer you, and I'll tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Well, God is able to answer our prayers. That's what he said. Now, speak kindly. That's what the Bible says. Speak kindly. But now, and also put away all aside, put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. It's pretty easy to have it. We have the Adamic nature. We're born with it. And it's awful easy to, if someone says something we don't agree, to snap back. And we're not supposed to do that. What we say reveals what we have on our minds. Paul gives us a cure for cross and critical tongues. Think positively about people. Focus on virtue and praise. Listen, that's pretty hard to do. It's easy. I can see the sin in you so much easier than you can see it in me. No, that's not true. Well, refuse. And this is something, boy, we all have to battle. Refuse to focus on the faults of others. Did you hear that? And forgive quickly. Now, it says in Colossians 3:12, and so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We should forgive people. I know you say, well, they never come up, and well, that's okay. You forgive them anyway. And if you can't forgive them, you get on your knees and you ask the Lord to help you. Did you know that? You can ask the Lord to help you forgive people. You can ask the Lord to help you quit smoking. You can ask the Lord to help you overeating, which I have to do quite a bit. Forgiveness is a call to Christian love, mercy, kindness, humility, and long-suffering. Well, listen here. Forbearing, that's putting up with one another. That's pretty hard to do. You know what? On the last ship I was on, USS Gage, APA 168, it was a attack troop transport. And there was 550 of us boys on that ship. You know, the other day, I got on the phone, and I called five different shipmates, and not one of their phones was working. They're all disconnected, so I assume that they're dead. I don't imagine there's over 70 to 100 of us left that was on that ship. But we loved that ship. We loved each other. Now, believe it or not, the first ship, I didn't. But these guys were different. And so I got on the phone, and I finally got a hold of one of the yeomen, the admiral's yeoman. And I said, is Mac there? And she started to cry. And she says, no, Mac passed away 3 years ago. No, I said, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. And so we got to talking. And she said, Cecil, you know, several years ago, you sent us a broadcast tape. And we loved it so much. It helped me and helped Mac. Now, they were very devout religionists, but they didn't know Jesus. So now I'm going to start sending some tapes to her. Because I tell you, friends, you know what? There's a lot of people who don't know anything about Jesus. All they know is what their church teaches. They don't read the Bible. They don't know what they believe. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you were baptized? Do you know why you joined your church? Do you? Well, you should find it out. Now, let me tell you the difference between an evangelist and a pastor. And I'll be the first. I'm an evangelist, but I'll be the first to tell you that pastors have three times harder job than an evangelist. They're supposed to train every member of that church to be soul winners. They're supposed to bury their people. They're supposed to marry their people. They're supposed to baptize their people. And they have a hard job. They certainly do. Where an evangelist comes in and shares the gospel and people get revived and then he goes on and the preacher's got to take care of them. But let me tell you what, the problem is today, many of our pastors are not teaching our people how to win souls. Because some of them don't even know themselves. What? That's right. Many pastors do not know how to lead a soul to Christ. The thing that Billy Graham said one time, it just shook me up good. And to me, Billy Graham is one of the greatest preachers God ever put on this earth. I believe that, whether you like it or not, he was. And he still is, but of course he can't preach anymore. But I tell you right now, he said the hardest thing for him is to deal on a one-on-one basis. He was a mass evangelist. And God only calls one a mass evangelist, I think, to a generation like Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, and D.L. Moody, and they were called for their day. Now, I'm not a mass evangelist. Oh, I like to speak to a lot of people, but I'm a one-on-one man. And that really, I guess, is harder. Sure it is. Because you're dealing with that person, and nobody but you and the Holy Spirit is dealing with that one. You say, well, Cecil, I can't do it. You never ask him, have you? If you've ever asked the Lord to give you souls for your hire, I will guarantee you he will do it. Work worshipfully. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Well, do everything in the name of Jesus. Bring every area of life into the arena of worship. And make no separation between the sacred and the secular. Do everything in the name of Jesus. Well, when someone says, give me five, now write this down. Rise, pray, kindly, forgive quickly, and work worshipfully. Share these five requirements to thrive, and you can survive, not just thrive. Friends, I want to ask you tonight, you say, well, Cecil, I don't know. You might be right, you may be wrong. I am right. Not because I'm smart, but because the Bible is no mistake. This is God's unerring word. Now, let me tell you this. Let's supposing you're in a Sunday school class, and the Sunday school teacher says something that's off the wall. Now, you need to take the Bible, and you need to test it. This Bible, there's not one false thing in this Bible. That's right, not one false thing. God does not lie. And God says, I've given to you life eternal. That's exactly what he meant. He didn't say, I'm going to take it away after you made a mistake. Because everybody, after they're saved, do sin. We don't like to talk about it, but we do sin. Well, let me ask you. If you were to die today, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? You say, boy, Cecil, you got me. I sure don't know. Well, if you don't know, you're not going. The Bible said this is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. Nicodemus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world, or you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Try these five things. They truly work. But now I'm concerned about you who don't know where you're going to spend eternity. God loves you, and he's standing right tonight with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden. He knows you've lived a misfit life. He knows that you're an alcoholic. He knows you're a drug addict. He knows you're a homosexual or a lesbian. He knows those things. But he said, if you confess your sin, repent, and call upon me and ask me to come in your heart, I'll give you new life. Would you like to do that tonight? If so, bow your head to me right now. Repeat this very simple but powerful prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for the things I did to you and to others. And tonight, Lord, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church, but boy howdy, I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Would you give me a call tonight? If you're confused, I'll talk to you. But listen, if you can't afford to make this call, please call me collect. I'll accept the charges, and I'll just tell you from my heart what the Bible says about Jesus. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.
And I see what they saw to this very day. Oh, he came special, delivering, wrapped up in love, bound by a promise, sealed by a dove, and filled with the Spirit, carried by grace. You knew where he was going by the look on his face. And when I'm called, I will go gladly. I will not. For I know where I'll be going. For I will be going to see him at last. I'm going special, delivery, wrapped up in love, bound by a promise.
Well, friends, for the past half an hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear friends, for listening, and I hope and pray and trust that you might have said something would encourage you. Oh, friends, I know it's not easy. We're living in troubled times. Our country is in the most divided it's been since before World War II. And the only way we can do it, we Christians have to pray. Oh, my stars. Pray daily. Pray without ceasing. And I want you to continue to pray for my wife and I as we go to prisons, and that we'll win souls. Oh, I tell you, the greatest joy I ever got in my life is telling someone else how to put their trust in Jesus. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you. Real, real good.